Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too. Hello?
Hello?
Do we got it?
Maddie!
Yay!
Woo-hoo! So I had to start the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. So we'll see.
We'll work through it.
We'll figure it out someday.
They changed the technology on us, guys. That never goes well.
They did. Spotify, smoke, we are not.
Hate us, Spotify.
Yeah. Spotify bought Anchor, and then Spotify is like, "Oh, we're just like hosting Anchor." Now Spotify is like, "No, we are Anchor. You need to log in through Spotify," which is fine, but then it changes the whole login, and Maddie was doing all the admin work, and she doesn't have my Spotify password, and we all needed to have like admin things, and then even though everybody's got admin privileges, Maddie couldn't start. It's a whole big stupid mess.
Callie is considered the owner of the podcast,
so yeah, I guess whatever. That's so stupid. Like, if I make you guys admins, you should be just as much owner as I am.
I think the real good takeaway is that I do nothing.
Jen just sits back and waits to be told what to do.
1000%.
Yeah.
Good times. Okay, it's Arrow 206 days.
206. Woo-hoo! Meanwhile, in the background, I just have to say I'm keeping an eyeball on the Arrow's tour live stream.
Yeah. Let us know what Tortured Poets shows up.
Yeah.
It's gotta be at the end, right?
Nobody knows when and where. The fact that she's starting earlier.
Well, maybe she's putting
like 30
it in
minutes earlier.
Oh, I wonder what that could mean. Like, you don't want to end on Tortured Poets. It's kind of like a
you can't end
on karma. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you can't end on.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I have no idea.
Like,
or do you start with Tortured
Poets? So long, London. Like, everyone goes home like sobbing.
She has to do I've got to do I can do it with a broken heart, right?
I mean, yes, mandatory. Ending on that is kind of a letdown. You're like, sorry I made you work when you just want to be in your bed and cry.
I like that someone, because at first there was that one TikTok that was like, should we like all chant more when it's like to that later? And we're like, no, that's not the point of the song. And then someone's like, should we just say sorry? We're like,
somebody's
that's
like, don't
hilarious.
Say anything. And it's like, she doesn't want you to do that either. Just
sing
our song.
Sorry.
Oh, really quick. Did anybody like watch the Met Gala?
I saw some roasts of the outfits, and the roasts were better than anything I could have seen otherwise.
Like, what a resounding disappointment.
It was underwhelming.
This was like the easiest theme ever, and none of them, the only one that I was like, okay, we hit it out of the park, was that chick who wore the butterfly dress, and
yes,
she's like an executive, and La Roche dressed her, and I was like, okay, she's on point. That was like, that was artwork. Everybody else, was kind of a mess.
A lot of the biggest, like the people who usually are like iconic for being at the Met, weren't there this year.
Yeah, it was like, why are we even having this if Blake Lively isn't here?
Blake Lively, Rihanna.
Yeah.
You know, all these
I'm not
people
interested.
That are big every year and like they're not there.
Yeah,
like, well,
they're
then
like,
why
nope.
are we even doing this?
I feel like if Blake Lively is not going to come, let's just cancel it. It also cost them $75,000 a ticket. Can we just please donate that money to charity?
Well, yeah, that it is a fundraiser, so it's
for clothes.
Nah. No,
it's a fundraiser quotation marks
for probably a fund that's already worth $1 billion already and doesn't need one more red cent to run it. So
yeah, I don't know. It's just I don't know.
There, I got my feelings out about the Met. I was very disappointed. I was expecting to see some pretty florals, and there, it was just like anybody who did florals, it looked like paper mache. I was like,
what about that gal with the sand dress? That looked painful. Yeah. No, actually, painful was Kim.
Kim was painful.
Kim and, like, needed to not do that.
They're all raving about the sand dress because they're like, look, she's carrying an hourglass. Like, if you have to carry the thing that you are to make it clear what you are, that's not a good look.
The cool hourglass one, actually, I love was Mindy Kaling. Like, that dress was stunning.
Was that the one that was, like, with all the...
It was all
like
billowy. Wind. Yeah.
It was wind. I didn't hate it. I would have liked it to be some color. What was the other one that I really liked? Oh, I think Katy Perry had a really pretty dress.
She wasn't there. That was AI. Oh,
who was it?
It was AI.
Oh, well, listen, AI knocked it out of the park.
AI did better job than everybody else did.
Yeah, I literally think the only one I liked was the executive. So I was like, everybody else. And like the dudes didn't even try this year. They just like, most of them just show, like Chris Hemsworth was a co-chair and he shows up in a tan suit like he's going to a beach wedding.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Granted, he looked amazing.
He looked hot.
Chris Hemsworth, but like.
No, like Bad Bunny was the only like guy who showed up.
No,
and then...
there was this gal this morning. I saw this TikTok and I wish I had shared it with you, Jen, so you could share it with Maddie so we could all see. But she was going through and she's like, these are the men who I'm letting through the rope next year. And these are the ones that like adhered. And obviously Bad Bunny was like her number one, but like she, Jonathan Bailey got a pass.
Yes.
He looked good.
Dan Levy got a pass.
Dan Levy was,
Sebastian,
that's gonna be a hilarious
Stan
meme.
You know. Morgan Spector from the Gilded Age looked really cool.
I feel like that represents my extrovert introvert personality. I'm an introverted extrovert. Like that was Dan Levy's costume.
It was gradient floral.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that really is like the darkness and the light. I'm like, I like it. Yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of like, you know. Do better. Be better, people with tons of money and world-renowned designers. And this is the best you can come up with? Lame. Lame, lame, lame.
I think they are all just so concerned with looking good that they don't
like,
ever
have
stop
some
to consider
fun. That's the whole point. You're supposed to be doing off-the-wall, crazy, amazing, beautiful looks.
Right.
If I wanted to see Jennifer Lopez in another sheer sparkly dress, I just look back at the last 20 years.
Oh, I know. I kept seeing people raving about that. And I'm like, it's not that. It's not.
No. Homegirl's hair was a mess, too. I'm like, who hates you?
Yeah.
I was like, she just, like, the hair
that
just
was
made her look
purpose,
10 years
though.
Older. I'm like, God. And
that,
we all
does
know
that
how,
make it worse or better?
Listen, we all know how much J-Lo hates to look her age. So I think that's probably the worst thing you can say is that her hair looks your age, J-Lo. Want to shrivel and die. I love that J-Lo is like canceled now and like people are like, you're the worst, its time has come and I've waited many years for it, so people seeing the truth of J-Lo makes me happy. Okay, still
206 time, we go to Russia.
206. I forgot what a heavy diggle episode this was.
It was a lot of diggle. It was as much diggle as we've seen since, what was that one episode in season one?
Yeah.
But like, this is, I thought that was more. Like, you got
diggle
more.
Diggle-centric. And listen, the man looked like a snack. I was like,
even though he was in prison?
I don't know. It was a prison uniform. It was definitely, because to me, this was like the birth of Dyla for me. I was like, oh, I shipped the shit out of this. I love how he just was like, oh, yeah, by the way, she's my ex-wife.
And everybody's like, excuse me, that gal? The gal with Argus from season one? You were married to her?
I love that what? Oliver did not say, how could you not tell me? Because
he knows.
Pop the kettle. But like Felicity was like, say that sentence again. And I'm like, girl, for real. Like, how many nights have they been down there, Diggle and Felicity, just hanging out in the bunker?
Shooting the shit,
talking about Carly, and he never once mentioned BTW totally got married after Afghanistan.
And BTW totally not over her.
And I'm still in love with her. Also, the shade against the Carly actor. Because first of all, Diggle goes to Russia to save Lila, which is, I mean, sorry, I'm not a feminist, but I love it when the dude saves the girl from mortal danger. It's always hot to me. So Lila has gone to some Russian prison to find Deadshot. And then, you know, because it's Russia. Also, this rebirth of Russia being the enemy, Callie, are you not loving this? Is this not like our 80s and 90s childhood? I'm just like... Why did Russia ever go away as the bad guy?
Because I never fully bought on to them being our friends. So
no, I'm like, lies, lies.
Like, I remember the 80s. I'm sorry, I can't just undo that.
Like, literally, the minute Isabel said, "Oh, I grew up in Moscow," I'm like, she's evil. She's the bad guy.
And what happened? She was the bad guy.
She speaks fluent Russian, Oliver. That's like the major tip-off in any movie in the 80s and 90s. Does the woman speak Russian? She's going to double-cross ya. So Diggle goes to the prison, and of course he saves Lila. And at the very end, he was like, after they have sex, and he's looking delicious, he's like, "Oh, yeah, I couldn't love Carly and hate Deadshot at the same time." And she's like, "Well, I appreciate being your exception." He's like, "You were always my exception." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm on board. I'm shipping it. Done deal." So to me, this episode was like the birth of Dyla. Because before, we really didn't get much.
The birth of Dyla, and also actually letting Diggle be a three-dimensional character.
Right?
Yes. Like I said, lore. We finally got like Diggle lore, like real lore.
I know.
Not just like my brother died and I'm hot for his ex-wife. You know?
Right. Also, really good scenes with Deadshot, because Deadshot's like...
God bless Deadshot.
I mean, love honestly, that man.
He's great.
He really brought all the ships together when you think about it.
I mean... He was right there.
He was right there making it all happen, because he was like, "Well, how do I know you're not going to shoot me if I show you where Lila's kept?" And Diggle's like, "Honor," which is such a Diggle answer. And then they're gonna drop Deadshot off on the side of the road, because Diggle will be damned if he gets on the private jet with them. And he points the gun at him, and you're like, this is it, he's gonna do it. And then Deadshot's like, "That's the thing about honor, John, you can't turn it off and on." Such a banger line. I was like, amazing.
So
like, such a comic book line. I'm like, let's do this.
No.
It was great. I was like, yeah, we knew Diggle wasn't going to kill nobody. Come on now.
No.
Relax. Relax. Okay. Oliver and Felicity. And Isabel.
Isabel.
So Sarah left town, thank God. Sarah's left town. So she was regulated to the flashbacks and flashbacks only. So it was really... Okay, did anybody feel like it was a little bit, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the pacing is not always super great with Oliver and Felicity. I feel like they were...
Yeah, it's like you get long stretches of like nothing, then it's pedal to the metal.
All of a sudden. Right, that's what it feels like. It's like, I feel like we went through like a good stretch of like nothing, like from 3, 4, and 5. And then all of a sudden they just flip this switch.
Floor it.
And I remember when I watched it live, I was like, "Oh, I'm not wrong." Like, they see it too. But it felt like all of a sudden it was like, it just feels like, oh, the writers are like, "Oh yeah, this is a thing. We're doing this." It just didn't feel like, a pacing wise, it didn't feel like there was an even flow to it. I would have liked a little bit more romantic interactions in 3, 4, and 5. To kind of build up to that level, but that was just me. Mostly, I just want more romantic elicity in the early
stages. Yes.
Yeah, but also I can be weird, so maybe I'm wrong. Callie, thoughts?
Do I, am I supposed to have a thought?
Stop watching Taylor Swift. I was like, you're like, oh, I'm going to keep an eye on the concert. I'm like, that means Callie's going to say nothing and just watch Taylor Swift.
She's not on yet, so it's fine.
Relax. No, did you feel that it was a little bit abrupt? Like, all of a sudden, they just flipped the romance switch a little bit on this episode. Whereas, like, before we really weren't getting much.
For Elicity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was, no.
Because you feel like you were getting enough in the earlier episodes.
Listen. It, yes, it slammed you into it, but, like, that also feels real. Like, I think expecting, particularly in these two people's situation, expecting like a slow ramp up episode by episode, that's not how Oliver fucking functions for starters.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know,
kind of an all in kind of guy. Yeah.
And Felicity fucking went to Leanne, you and jumped out of a plane for this boy. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. It's been there the whole time. It was
there. I'm not saying it wasn't there. Okay, first of all, not saying it wasn't there. I'm just saying
the window together, like,
it was like, it felt like we went more 0 to 60 in this episode, where it was more of a lighter touch in the earlier episodes.
Well, but when you
consider, of like how over, yeah.
Yeah. When
you consider this episode was, it was less about, is there feelings? Oh my God, there's feelings. It's, there were feelings all along. This,
right.
The thing that made it feel abrupt that this was done less from Felicity's lens and more from Oliver's lens.
That's probably it. Like,
all along, we've been getting this relationship from Felicity's perspective.
Yeah.
And then this is the episode where we were forced to see Oliver's perspective and see him tripping along, da, 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 and all of a sudden smacked in the face with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's shit. That's
why I say this is when he realized.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I felt more abrupt. Because it was like, all of a sudden, he plugs in.
And
you're
like,
were there. You're not completely oblivious. Interesting.
Like, he was ignoring it, and then he met a situation where he couldn't ignore it, and it felt startling to him, so therefore it was also startling to us, because the episode was through his and Diggle's perspective.
I almost feel too like, okay, so Isabel crashes the party, she gets on the plane, she's going with them to Russia. And Diggle's like, hey, that ain't great. I really like her to not come with on our super secret mission spy activities. And Oliver's just like, I'll handle her. And it's very, like, confident. But he has been doing a good job of handling her, like, as Oliver Queen during the day. But, like, it kind of immediately turns into, like, she immediately makes a snarky, oh, you know, you weren't absconding to Russia with the private plane to have a little rendezvous with your assistant. And Oliver was like, that's not happening. But he said it in a way where it was like, you doth protest too much, sir. You know what I mean? It's like, he was like trying to be like, oh, that's the most hilarious thing that I've ever heard. And then, like, but like the look of panic was also there on his face. Like, shit, people have noticed. But then it, like, I thought it was very weird that she brought Felicity up twice. So he brought her up about the rendezvous, and then she brought her up about the promotion from like blonde IT girl to assistant to the CEO, which to me that doesn't sound like a promotion, but I guess in Arrow's world
it is, because in that sort of position, if somebody is a direct assistant,
I bet she's CEO, making more money.
They're making a lot more money than a lot of people in that building.
That's fair. Okay, so then she's just like, she makes a comment about the short skirts, and Oliver's like, her skirts aren't that short, which was a hilarious read by Stephen Amell, but like, it was just such a, oh, he is a heterosexual male who notices a hot girl. Like, it was like, he's so robotic sometimes around her that you're like,
oh. Well, he's
so reticent to, like,
his roboticness is very much on purpose. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. He's so reticent to, like,
he can't
open the drawer
or soften up. Yeah, exactly. It's letting the monkeys out of the.
So I think they opened the door with Oliver in a really funny way with the comments from Isabel.
Quite literally opening a door.
Opening a door. Okay, but then let's talk about the scene where he's drinking with Isabel. And he's like, it almost feels like he's in like junior high. Like, does everybody think I like Felicity? She's like, yes. Yeah, because you do. You big dumbo. Because
people have eyes and brain cells. I don't know.
So it feels weird to me. And I do feel like this was a little bit self-sabotage. To me, it felt more self-sabotage this go-around. Because when I first watched it live, I was like, oh, here we go. Oliver's just hooking up with the next whatever. But now in retrospect and seeing the comments about Felicity, the way she's needling him about Felicity, it's hitting a little distracted. Too close to home.
Right.
And to me, the sex with Isabel was much more about him lying to himself than lying to Isabel.
Well, I think, yeah, I think it was definitely both were happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, I need to distract Isabel. But then, like, he himself found out along the way as this was happening. He's like, oh, you know what? I'm not really fucking into this, but I'm doing this, but this is not, you know, like, I think there's a reason we didn't see Oliver do casual hookups again after this.
No, this is really the last one. I mean, and this one's pretty bad. Like, I would say this is, I mean, other than sleeping with the sister, this is my least favorite.
But you could argue that wasn't casual necessarily. Like,
fair.
Yeah.
I'm talking in terms of sexual decisions he has made that I do not endorse. Yeah. Like, no, Isabel is
not a fan.
The top of the list. You're like,
there's quite a few.
Do we have to have sex with her? Do we? Do we really need to do that?
We did.
And
especially once you find out they're half, no, not half siblings, just that she had an affair with Robert.
Right. Dad.
That comes later.
Which I think that's like his crying games moment. You know, if you grew up in the 90s, you know what I mean when I say crying
games. It's like his Maury Povich, like Ricky Lake moment.
He's in the shower
where
crying.
You're like, oh my God, you're not the father. It's like, what? You are the father. So to me, it felt a little, and I don't think Oliver really, he really didn't think Felicity would ever find out about it, but it felt a little bit more, I'm starting to realize some truths and they're freaking me out. So I'm just going to like self-sabotage a little bit.
Not deal with that.
Yeah. And I feel like Felicity picks up on that, the self-sabotaging with her remark to him at the end. So clearly they have sex. Thank God they didn't show much of it. Appreciate that. And then Felicity comes to pick Oliver up because they have to go save Diggle. And Isabel, who was in bed when he left.
Wait, I have to cut in. I have to cut in to say they're playing Applause by Lady Gaga.
Oh.
That means she's coming.
She's coming.
Look out for the cleaning cart.
So... But then in like Superman's or Wonder Woman like speed, she puts her dress on the minute he opens the door to Felicity and she casually walks out, which for Oliver was awkward. And when I was like, well, if there was nothing romantic between these two,
this
wouldn't have been a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, if he wasn't interested in Felicity and Felicity wasn't interested in him,
it wouldn't have been
an
awkward moment. It would have been like, ugh, Oliver, really?
Right, but it was very much, this was information Oliver did not want Felicity to know.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's still, there's a difference between like awkward and ashamed. And like, it'd be minorly awkward of like, oh, you're like, post-coital. Okay, I'm going to back away now. But if it's like a romantic thing, then there's like shame there of like, now I feel bad that like you're seeing this and
he,
I don't want you to see me.
Like, very clearly like, felt bad. And it really had the same vibe as like Oliver cheated on Felicity.
Right. Because that's how he felt in his heart.
That's
in that
how
moment.
He felt in the moment. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Why is this playing like he cheated on her if he's not interested in her?
And because... I think like that's why I say that's his realization, because he didn't even consider that until that moment. And he's like, why am I feeling? Oh, no. I feel this way because I feel this way.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
And we'll go around on this.
He's written mine on her upper thigh only in his mind.
Excellent, Maddie.
I think, I don't know. I think Oliver, I don't know. I think I really do stick to my he fell in love slowly over time and then all at once.
Oh, no, no. I agree. He fell in love slowly over time. This was just.
This is like a major building block.
In my head, this is where he really fully realized it. Like before he was falling, but he was like pushing.
Yeah, I know. You and I disagree about his realization.
Yeah. I'm firm.
You are firm on 206, and I do not agree with that. I am very firm on a later episode. But I think the way we view realization is a little bit differently.
That's true, too. Yes.
I think you're more like he's recognizing that the feelings for Felicity are there.
Correct.
Whereas my recognition is he's ready to put a label on it, and he's not going to avoid it any longer.
Oh yeah, no, that
or lie
yeah, that's
about it to himself anymore.
So that's not how I'm defining.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we're probably. I think
closer
like, we're mind. Probably closer than what.
There's semantics.
Semantics. Correct. There you go. Yeah.
There's a difference between realization and all in.
I don't like when Jen and Callie fight.
No, we're not. Oh no, Callie and I have debated this joking, for like a freaking decade. Like this has been
we've
done like 5 hours alone.
No, we're good.
And it's never it's not a fight. We're never fighting.
No.
We're just like I like her perspective, and she likes my perspective.
Speaking animatedly.
Yes. But, though, like, it is. It's like, because, you know, I also think, you know, you have a little bit more backed up, like, from the Stephen Amell was, like, this is the episode where Oliver is, like, did Stephen say, like, this is the episode where Oliver realized he loved Felicity? I don't know if he ever came out and said
I don't know if he
exactly
ever did
like that.
Either. He said something, but I could not tell you. I do not remember what it was because that was like a million years ago and I'm old.
Well, our brains decided not remembering everything Mel said in an interview was lower on the priority.
I had to add in some Taylor Swift lore. My brain just doesn't have enough space for everything, okay? She's coming out. She's doing her Miss Americana, I think. Can almost hear. Yes, he is.
So I think let's talk a little bit about Felicity's reaction. So Felicity's really, really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she's mad. And rightfully so, because Oliver's been
Isabel
going
is
through
evil.
A real threat.
Exactly. It hurts more than if it was just like a random hookup with someone from
correct.
Vulcan, yeah.
You know?
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Laurel was the last time Oliver had sex with anybody. There's been a real dry spell. He's not been hooking up with chicks, okay? And I would say the fact that Oliver is not hooking up with randos or there's no, you know, super villain that he has to fall in love with this week, and it's really just him and Felicity and Diggle in the bunker, would give, and because he's Oliver, and I know that he's reticent to show his feelings, but that doesn't mean that sometimes he does, you know. To me, it would feel like Felicity could potentially feel like they're building towards something.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying self-sabotage. So then, and then she opens the door and he's blown it up. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, she doesn't even understand what, like, she really is like, I don't know why you did this with this chick. It makes no sense. You hate her. I hate her. Like, she's not a nice person. How are you sleeping with her? So, and I think she tries to cover it, where she's like, what happens in Russia stays in Russia. Because, again, you know, what I liked about the scene is, like, exactly what Maddie said, is that Oliver is ashamed. And Felicity is trying to play it off like she doesn't care. But what I like about it is that Oliver is ashamed, because I think there had been really this dynamic, and I think this was the argument from a lot of Laurel Lance fans, where, you know, Felicity has a crush on Oliver, but Oliver will never return those feelings. Like that was the playbook from the Girl Wednesday kind of comment. Like, and that's what I felt was going on. They're going to play this flirtation that Felicity has a crush on Oliver, and, you know, have moments with Oliver, but they're never going to have Oliver reciprocate it because it's supposed to be Laurel. That's where I was at. So when this episode aired and I saw that, yep, he was awkward and ashamed And then, of course, the speech at the end. I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, yes. That, to me, turned it on its head. This episode turns the power dynamic on its head.
The speech at the end, if you hadn't had the speech at the end, it could have been more easily written off.
Right. So, I gotta admit, this is, like, probably within the top 10, top 5 of Oliver's speeches to Felicity.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, because I think they don't always give Stephen Amell a lot of room to emote and, like, be feel, especially at this stage of the character, because, like, the character is still very much, like, PTSD, and, like, we're on the road to healing, but, like, we're not there. So I love that I like that Felicity brought it up again. Like,
I love that he's like, I thought about what happens in Russia, and she's like, we are still in Russia.
We're still in Russia. So she brings it up in the car, okay? And then they go home. And then he's like, okay. I mean, it felt like a couple's fight. It really did. I was like, they're in the car, and it's like they're like old married. And like,
there was
like
a bicker happening.
It was like such a married couple fight. You know what I mean? I was like, that's like Nick Jen energy. I was like, literally, we fight like that. So
quick cut in.
Yep.
New bodysuit. It's like, ooh, it's like all red, and the boots are like gradient orange, red, purple.
Ooh, that's fun.
It's very pretty. Anyhow, go on.
Okay. So I like that Felicity brings it up again. Like, this is a craw in her. Like, this is the thorn in her side.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, she just can't let this one go. She can't let it go.
Well, because, like, Isabel has been so horrible to her. Like, and we didn't see all of that. That was a lot of it was off camera. But, like, you get the impression that she's been making Felicity's professional life hell.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And it's like all of a sudden.
And, like, slut-shaming her. And then she's like, I'm getting slut-shamed, and I haven't even had the benefits of the good sex.
Right. Like, for real? Yeah, because it's all, there is the whole slut shaming, the sexist. Felicity could have never gotten there if she wasn't sleeping with the boss attitude, which, speaking for that coming from Isabel, who's a woman in business and had to work her way up, that is an unbelievably evil thing to say.
She's not being a girl's girl.
I had somebody say that. I had a guy at my job after Lauren was born. And they set up the work from home with me. There was some guy saying I was sleeping with the boss, and that's why I got the setup that I did.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's so, like, fucking rude.
So I had gone to DC with my sister. It was like a little vacation. Katie had some presentations that she had to give. And I guess my boss was gone at the same time. So this guy was going around and saying that we were like on a trip together. It was wild. I was like, yeah, asshole. So yeah, this happens. It's legit. So I like that Felicity brings it up with Oliver and is like not letting him. And he does try to like wiggle out of again, because she's just like, why her? Because I think there's a really good portion. Like, I think there was a piece of Felicity that was like, okay, I can't compete with Laurel. Laurel is an attorney.
History,
and she's beautiful. There's history, and she wants to do good. And like, I think there was some of Felicity that didn't feel like she measured up to Laurel in season one. And I think there was a part of her that was like actually okay, like understood why Oliver was in love with Laurel and not her. You know what I mean? Because she's Laurel, gorgeous Laurel. You know what I mean? I think Felicity like really, she doesn't see herself the way Oliver sees her, but Oliver's not telling her how he sees her either. So how is she supposed to know, you know? So I think there's some confidence issues, obviously, with Felicity. And then again, she makes the same comment. Clearly it's like the tall, leggy, blonde, leggy model type. So Felicity doesn't feel she fits Oliver's body type, that he only wants to date these gorgeous, hot women. And like, you're like, yeah, Felicity, you're gorgeous and hot. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? But she doesn't see herself that way. She sees herself as the smart girl. And the smart girl can't be beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. or sexy. And Oliver's just like, it just happened. And he's kind of flip about it. And he's kind of like, he doesn't want to deal with this conversation. And it's really annoying. And I'm like, I think you are a better explanation than that. And then Felicity gets upset about that response, and she kind of like sighs and like she's like disgusted. And then that's when Oliver says, hey, And whenever Oliver says hey to Felicity, you know there's going to be like a big emotional declaration of some kind.
We're getting vulnerable here.
Yeah, yes. He's going to get vulnerable and he's going to get real with her. And yes. he does this so like, you're like, wow, you're really good at dancing around subjects and saying what you need to say without actually saying what you need to say.
Like he made it an art.
Yeah, it's an art form. Lyra's like, I just feel that given the life that I lead, I shouldn't be with anybody I could really care about. And then he just kind of like stares at her.
It's yeah, like I'm talking about you, by the way. Wink, like, wink.
Look in my eyes, read the meaning of those words. And it's like, I think Cal's right. That's why I was like, whoa, this kind of like came out of, no, because it is a huge declaration on Oliver's part.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten like very little from him. Like, we're flipping out over shoulder touches and him like doing eye sex over like, you know, a shipment of guns. Like, that's been like the most, or she got hurt and he's like bending over, making sure she doesn't have a concussion while the bad guy gets away.
Yeah.
Like, these are all like very physical, but very small things.
Easily kind of disregarded and been like, oh, this is just fan service.
Don't feel, other than saying to her, hey, if you need somebody to talk to about your day, you can always talk to me. That was in season one. I don't feel like since that he's made any kind of like emotional overture to her, but maybe I'm forgetting episodes. So I was just like, whoa, we're just going 0 to 60 on this. Okay, Oliver. And Oliver just flips the switch and you're like, oh, he does have a thing for her. But what I love about Felicity, because I get into this self-sabotage with Oliver, because as Callie and I have said for years, Oliver doesn't think he deserves Felicity.
Correct.
Like, he really, correct, to Oliver, Felicity is the unattainable. She's way too good for him. He's never going to measure up. So he's never going to pursue it. So he's kind of telling her, oh yeah, I can't be with you because I'm the arrow. But really he's saying, I don't deserve to be with you. And the great thing about Felicity, she picks up on that right away. And she's really heartbroken because once again, he's hiding behind the hood, doesn't want to be with her, isn't even really coming out and saying what he feels for her. It's another one of those like, maybe, it's not even a maybe conversation. In fact, he's telling her it's not going to happen. So for Felicity, this is kind of like, it's very heartbreaking and she looks very sad and disappointed. But she gets up and then she turns around, well, I think you deserve better than her. And what's crazy about the scene is Oliver's stunned.
Shook.
The man is shooketh. Like, he's just like, what? And it's because nobody has ever said to Oliver, you deserve to be better. Loved. And you deserve better.
You deserve better than my dumbass who doesn't know how to do this right.
Then like, someone who hates you and you hate her.
Exactly. It's always about how Oliver is not good enough for whatever person, particularly in this situation, Laurel. Oliver is never good enough for Laurel. Not for Quentin Lance. Laurel herself, with understandable reason, has a beef with, has, you know, that's all he heard in season one is how he wasn't worthy of her. So for Felicity to say that to him, after he's already slept with Isabel, he's already done the thing that's disgusting and like what essentially could blow up any feelings Felicity has for him. And it doesn't. She's just like, yeah, I see what you're doing. I see the self-sabotage. You think you don't deserve to be loved in return. You don't think you deserve to have someone good in your life, but you do.
Yeah. And I don't think he thinks he himself qualifies in that capacity whatsoever.
No, none whatsoever.
It's not even like, maybe someday I will. No.
No.
He's out of the running.
Which is why he's kind of using the arrow. He's like, well, you know, I'm in the hood. I can't be with anyone in the hood. Which is so much nonsense because she's watched him be with Helena and the cop chick and try to be with Laurel. And yeah, those things all fell apart. But like, that doesn't mean, Oliver has a tendency to be like, oh, well, it's because it's me and it's because I'm the arrow. It's like, or those just weren't the right people that you were supposed to be with. So, which is how Felicity feels about it. No, you could be the arrow and be with me. Like, because, like, we're basically doing that now without sex. So could we just call a spade and have the sex, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I can't. He can't do it because he doesn't think he views her as such a pure, good soul. And that is something he will never deserve, and he will never be that. So he can't be with her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, nah, that's not the thing.
And she's kind of like, oh, okay, this guy's fucked in the head. We need to work on you.
Yeah. Bro. She's really like,
this is what we're working with.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I got my work cut out for me. Yeah, this guy is a real fixer upper. She's just like, here I got them, a really, queen mansion, and I bought a dilapidated, you know, two-story. You know what I mean? It's just like, I have to gut the whole house to make this livable. It's like, yeah, we're sorry. Like, listen, because don't you remember, like, all those assholes on the internet was like, you just want to be with Oliver Queen. That's why you like Elicity. And I'm like, the last person I would ever want to be with is Oliver Queen. Like, I don't actually want to date the fictional people. I like them in fiction because it's not real. If you put any of those people in real life, like, it doesn't go well. These are not people who have functioning relationships for the most part. Like, so I swipe
right on Oliver and then it would die in the chat phase.
Right, exactly. Yep. So I like that she turned, because you're like, whoa, like, you're so stunned by what Oliver said that he's acknowledging there's something between them, because he's acknowledged it to himself finally. He's not prepared to say what that is. He's just saying, whatever it is, it can't happen. But he does acknowledge that it's romantic.
There's an underline.
Yes. And I love that he's like, okay, put the cap on this sucker. Handled that. It'll be great now. We'll just go right back to being friends. And Felicity just lowers the freaking boom on him. And he's the one who's left shooketh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just like, what? What did she say? What? So it did feel very like 0 to 60 from Oliver's perspective, but Callie's right. That's what he does. He's an all in, jump head first, doesn't look kind of guy. Which I think is kind of interesting that he is so careful with Felicity. That shows to me how much he loves her, that he doesn't really want to screw this up. Like, her finding about Isabel was not a good thing. He was not happy about that. He had absolutely no intention of ever telling her that he slept with her. Like, that was not information he wanted her to know.
No.
So I was like, yeah, well, because, you know, you're in love with her and you basically cheated on her. So not really, but not technically. Not really,
but also like, but also not really. Well, I remember at the time seeing, you know, lots of little fan dissertations about this. And the one that really kind of strikes true for me, and which I kind of carry about this episode, it's less, because the people are like, what right does Felicity have to be mad at him? They're not together. It's not really, it's not really about that. It's about who he chose to do it with.
Yeah. Because honestly, even if they're just like, just friends, like, it would never, ever be anything else. Isabel is so shitty to Felicity. That's a shitty thing for a friend to do.
That's like being friends with Taylor Swift and then getting with Kim Kardashian. It's like, you don't fucking do that.
Right. Like, that's a betrayal. Like, on a friendship level, it's a betrayal.
Exactly. Thank you.
So yeah, it's like, it didn't have to be romantic from Felicity. We know it's romantic for Felicity, but also just on a, like, you're my homie, you're my guy, for real? Her? Because she never had a problem with, she never said anything about Laurel. She never said anything about McKenna. She had a slight beef with Helena because she tried to, you know, tie her up. But Oliver, she never said anything negative about
Laurel.
She's
never said, well, you cannot sleep with any other women. Like, she's never given that out.
It's this particular, Kelly sent pictures.
I've been, as I come across them.
Gosh, that almost looks like a rose pink to me.
It's like, well, the jacket is pretty orange.
It's and pulling the... from the tones of like the weird petal things that yeah. come out of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's really interesting. So anyhow, continue.
It's pretty. Yeah, so I don't really feel like I agree with Cal. Like, she's not coming at this from a you're my boyfriend and
correct.
She's not coming. She's just like, this person is awful. Why are you sleeping with her? You deserve better than that.
She's been terrible to me. She's been terrible to everybody in the building that you own and you run this building. She's terrible.
She wants to destroy your family's legacy.
Right. Exactly. This bitch bought your mom's company. She's like here because. You know,
why are you
like she literally stole half the company and you would have lost it entirely without Walter. What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, that's fair.
It's like you could sleep with anybody and you pick her.
Well, I think this is like her? it's a real male female communication problem too, because for Felicity it's like she's a terrible person, like why would you sleep with her? For Oliver, he was offered sex. And he took it.
Well, I also do think that there is some truth to the fact that he was trying to throw Isabel off the Felicity scent.
Yeah, probably.
And he was like, how do I do that? I am a man slut. This is what I do. I distract her with my body.
Yeah, that's true too. I think, and he was also trying to keep her off base a little bit with what was going on with the Diggle.
Situation.
The Diggle situation. So.
It looks like she took the Archer out entirely. After Lover, she went straight into the stage and Fearless is starting.
Oh.
So no Archer. Gone. Kaput.
Okay. Sorry, people. You can watch it on the movie. On Disney.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is a very nuanced episode. There's a lot of emotions happening that I feel like they did a really good job of like addressing, but not addressing them. Like leaving you like, clearly we're in episode 6. They can't resolve this Oliver and Felicity thing. Like they have to, like, we're just getting started, you know? So like, there's just like a lot of layers. And like, I think there was a part of Oliver too, where she was like, well, why do you like, Isabel was very like, I'm seeing into your soul. You're intelligent. You know, you're driven, you're lonely. And Oliver's like, okay. And she's like, let's get the check. He's like, all right.
Yeah,
so I think he's like, if you want to think all those things, that's fine with me. Maybe we'll just stop talking about how I'm checking out Felicity every 2 seconds. I do think you're right, Cal, that he was trying to throw her off the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then Felicity showed up. Like, and he was rushing out of there. Oliver was rushing out of his room. He was like, I don't have a lot of time. And she's like, I'll be quick. So, and then like, he's rushing out of there because he knows Felicity's on her way to the room, which if you're Oliver was just a stupid move to start with. Why didn't she just go to her room? Go to whatever. He didn't think this one through clearly enough. And I think when Felicity opened the door, or when he opened the door and Felicity was standing there, he was just like, oh shit, she's right on time. You know what I mean?
She is not a second late.
Yeah. Remember when Ross cheated on Rachel and they were on the break and Rachel shows up at the apartment and the girl's still there and Ross is like, oh, you are right on time. Like, that's what it felt like. Like you couldn't be 1 minute later. Literally just 1 minute is all I needed.
You couldn't have to wait for the next elevator or nothing. It's just okay.
Hey, you're like, oh, you're like you said 5 o'clock and it's fucking 5, like on the dot. Damn. Didn't plan on that.
Skills, Oliver. Get them.
But I do love that the fandom can use this episode as a battering ram to bash into the heads of anybody who was like trying to tell us that we were crazy. I feel like I wasn't on the internet at the time, but I feel like this episode gave us some like real like
ammunition
to be like, we're in this. We are so in this. We're not delusional.
I have such fond feelings for this because if it wasn't for this episode and people needing to talk about it, I never would have watched Arrow. because Mike Silver and our friend Foggs, we were in a chat and they were talking about it while I was like sitting in there and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, we're talking about this show that we watched. And I'm like, oh my God, she was, but did you see her face? Did you see his face? And I'm like, what are you guys talking? What is this? Fill me in on the news. And then it was after they were talking about that, that I started, like I started watching it. And then I watched 207 Live.
To me, it's classic will they, won't they hijinks.
Oh, it was so classic. It was textbook.
I think this is like the first time we really got that. Yeah. And not diminishing the moment. It's
following it with 207 is then your like damsel in distress moment.
Right. Correct. Another classic, you know, because I think what it felt like to me is before, okay, the writers were like responding to Stephen and Emily's chemistry.
Correct.
And putting in these moments that were there. And then Stephen and Emily would take those moments and like do their thing with it. This felt very strategic from a story standpoint that the writers are saying, this isn't just about exploring their chemistry. We're writing a romantic scene for Oliver and Felicity and making it clear that there's something between them. Whereas in all the other scenes, you could make the argument that it was, oh, it's just, you know, the writers didn't intend, or, which is insane, but like, or it's just Stephen and Emily have good chemistry. Like there's always these other arguments that people love to make about anything prior to 206 that, and you were like, okay, you're wrong, but I don't have like a, particularly on the Oliver side of things, you didn't have a statement from Oliver like the one we got in 206 to say, see, it's not one-sided. He's got a thing for her. Like, right. You didn't have anything like that until 206.
Exactly. Because up until then, it was just little moments. Moments that are easy to write off. Moments that are easy to point at and say, that's fan service. But 206 flipped that narrative and was like, actually, maybe this is the thing that's happening. And that, well, and there were every role other fans moment that did not pick up on that. I don't know what to tell them. Are you
well? And like them? Every other moment was really written. Let's just say they're writing it from the perspective of the will they, won't they. But every other moment was, like you said, Cal, was really geared towards Felicity's perspective and her crush on Oliver. And it was played for humor. Like it was played, you know, yes, there's underlying sexual chemistry between the two and they sizzle and that's just natural between Stephen and Emily. But a lot of it was Felicity's sexual innuendo, you know, it was played on a humorous level. Whereas this was serious and this was emotional. There was nobody was joking.
It's hilarious in retrospect because it's true. It's like it was a joke of like, isn't it so funny that this girl with glasses is into him? And then you're like, but Emily Bett-Ricard's is stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that old trope of just put a pair of glasses on a woman, she's ugly. You're like, that's not how things work from like a good looking perspective. Also, like she looks really pretty in the glasses too. It's not like they make her look. You're like, have you looked at her? And even like, again, Felicity, like, has she looked?
Even in like, the pantoflash, she was gorgeous.
Like, that's why season 3, that first episode with the dinner and she's in the red dress, like, was such a huge deal because it's Felicity was really like saying, I am sexy and I'm going to dress sexy for him. Whereas before, I feel like there's a self-esteem problem with Felicity in season 1 and season 2. She doesn't feel like she's up to the same level of women that Oliver typically goes for. And she's not the typical girl Oliver goes for, but it has nothing to do with looks. She's just as stunning as all the other women. But she doesn't see it like that at all. Whatsoever. So at least from Felicity's perspective, even though like Oliver basically told her it's going to be a no, at least he acknowledges to her, like, you know, Felicity has sat at home and replayed moments between the two of them over and over and over again. And like, am I crazy or does this guy have a thing for me? And he finally was like, you're not crazy. So at least from that, it was still a disappointing answer, but at least for her, it was like at least some confirmation that he does have a feeling, does have feelings for her. And it's about damn time. How many episodes was it? She showed up in 103. So
yeah,
that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Just to get some kind of freaking acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Lord. Like, when you look at The Flash and how quickly they put all, like, what's her name? Barry and Iris together. Mm-hmm. We suffered. We suffered on this show.
Yeah.
It was painful. How did I do this one episode at a time? How did we survive? It's torturous. It's torturously slow, but I did. I think now there's just so few shows I watch week to week. Yeah. You know what I mean? I really don't.
The era is over of doing that. It's a little sad.
Like, I was thinking, like, I am as excited about Bridgerton almost as much as I was excited about when Arrow was premiering.
But that's going to be
a quick binge. It's 4 episodes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'll rewatch them 7,000 times. So Nick was like, oh, so are they releasing all, how many episodes is it? And I was like, well, it's 8, but they split the season. So, and Nick was like, oh, well, how long do you have to wait for the other 4? And I'm like a month. And I was like, he's like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, they're trying to, like, get a grip on people like me and Maddie who spend 8 hours and stay up all night.
Well, what they're doing is they're getting a second month subscription out of me before it cancels again.
Yeah, that's the other thing that they're trying to do. So, which is annoying. But when
I decided, I was like, just being smart, is I did the plan that has ads, and it's going to be so funny to see when there's going to be like a commercial break in the middle of Bridgerton. But
oh yeah, that's hilarious. You'll have to tell me.
But it's like the difference between $6 a month and $15 a month, it adds up, you know?
Yeah, that does. Well, I mean, yeah, it's like $30 or $12. Like, that's a big difference. So, and when you're trying to save money,
that's a tank of gas. So there we go.
Exactly. 1,000%. Oh, yay, my dog's finally eating her breakfast. My dog is so
weird.
It'll
be funny to see if there's like a big tense romantic moment, and then it's like,
and then cut to commercial, like the good old days.
Yeah.
I used to tell him, like, well, and then she corrected me because I was like, Lauren, we used to have to sit and watch commercials, or like you would change the channel if you were fancy and you had a remote. But like, we'd have to all race back. Like, your bathroom breaks were, like, very fast because you didn't want to miss anything. She's like, I watched commercials when I was little. I'm like, yeah, watching a commercial on, like, Little Einsteins is not the same as watching a commercial when George Clooney has returned to ER. They are different experiences, young Padawan. What's she singing now, Callie?
She's, You Belong With Me.
Okay. So we're in red.
No.
Oh, Fearless. Sorry. No, what am I talking about? We're on.
I posted the new Fearless dress in the text, too.
Okay,
let me
look.
It's very reminiscent of, like, when she did her Fearless tour with the silver dress and the black boots.
I might like this one the best.
It's pretty nice.
I like the black boots.
It looks really cute. And it, you know, does the thing when she shimmies.
And she's got some black dangly things in there.
Yeah, it's.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
It looks great
yeah.
with the guitar.
She's rocking it.
I think it's nice that she changes the costume. So, like you know, is she in France? Like, we've seen 7,000 of these shows, but like, she does try to make it a new experience for whatever leg of the journey she's on. You know,
and the night is just nothing but new. I mean, no lover, orange bodysuit, silver dress.
She didn't sing Lover. Like,
not Lover, I'm sorry. Archer.
Oh,
I'm still,
I was
like upset about. No, she didn't. She finished with the Lover.
Okay, I was like, now listen, as we have confessed, I'm not a huge fan of Lover, but like,
but
like,
it's not kinda, my favorite. If you're Taylor doing song. A Lover set without Lover,
yeah, that's like crazy. Like, I was like, wow, Homegirl is like really done with Joe. Like, see, like now she can't play that song at her wedding to Travis. So
here's awkward. Another picture that. I'm posting another picture that just shows the movement. It's very cute.
Love it. Sorry, guys. Oh, that does look cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, podcaster. Sorry, Silver.
Sorry, Silver.
Send him to Silver, too, so Silver knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. But... while Callie and I were working on tech issues earlier, I brought up that we have an interesting predicament coming up. Is next week is 207, aka yes. one of oh the biggest episodes Big. Of all time.
We might have to push off 207.
But it's also Bridgerton premiere day.
Well, no, wait, hang on. So Bridgerton's premiering on Thursday, right?
Thursday.
Okay, but we typically podcast on Wednesday. So we could do 207 on Wednesday.
So we can we have to double podcast potentially.
Yeah, and then we might have to do it again. Hang on, let me look at my work schedule. Thus far, I can podcast on... Okay, so I can podcast on Wednesday. I could also podcast on Thursday. I'm clocking you guys in. Wait, but then I have to have Bridgerton watched by Thursday morning, and I'm not going to be able to do that. Because it doesn't come out Wednesday night, right?
We can, yeah, okay. We'll do 207 next week. And then it'll give us a whole week to binge all of Bridgerton.
Wait, are we doing, I feel like we need to do.
Wait, what does the shirt say? What does the shirt say? The shirt says something different. Hold on. Shit, come on, Taylor, face the camera. This is not Taylor's version.
Okay.
That's what the shirt says. This is not Taylor's version.
Yeah, no. And I feel like we're going to need to break up Bridgerton into a couple episodes, don't you think? Okay, we do all four in one.
It depends.
We'll see where we get hung up on.
We might break it up into like episode 1 and 2 and then episode 3 and 4.
Yeah, we'll just see how it goes. Maybe it's not worthy of a lot of discussion and the season will suck. I don't know. Who knows? Sometimes that leads to more discussion if things suck.
All true.
So I really feel like this, but 206, I really feel like we got like the majority of the episode was about Diggle, Felicity, and Oliver.
Wait a minute.
What are you sending us now, Callie?
Well, I sent you a meme, but somebody pointed out we went from Fearless to Red. It doesn't go like that. She changed the order. Red does not come after Fearless. I mean, it comes after it. No, it doesn't. Red doesn't come after Fearless. She changed the order of the sets. Because it went from Fearless into...
Evermore,
yeah. But it went Fearless to Red. Interesting. Uh-oh. Did we lose Jen?
I think we did.
Oh, boo. Well, were we done talking about 206?
I think we kind of covered all of the goodness. And excited for 207. Of that one is like... one of my favorite episodes of TV of all time, and love it. So
it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm actually really excited to talk about 207. I love that episode so much.
Yeah, and since I just re-signed back up for Netflix for Bridgerton and stuff, I'm gonna try to actually watch as many season 2 episodes to get refreshed on all of it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there we go. So that'll fill the month-long gap in between the two sections.
Yeah.
There we go.
Woohoo!
We do all we can.
Yeah.
Perfect. Then I think we are good to go. This was a fun one. I love how it was fun. It was little crumbs of Taylor kind of mixed with the outlet, you know?
I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Taylor update.
But also 206 is a god tier episode.
God tier.
No arguments here. All righty, Maddie. You take it easy.
Sounds good. All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week.
Be sure to listen next week.
Subscribe to Watchover on iTunes
or Google Play.
And look us up on Twitter and Tumblr.
Bye. Bye.